this week on the Koshcast. United tie City up and whip them harder than Anastasia Steele, while Sherwood and Pardew compete for Best Cockney Manager Award as both their sides win yet again. In La Liga, Barcelona drop points, while in Serie A, Parma drop a mixtape as they beat Juventus, which changes the whole complexion of absolutely nothing at all. We'll look forward to the Champions League, discuss how much of a dick Rui Faria is, and tell you about some lovely Twitter hate. Let's kosh.
I'd rather shack a bucket with a hole in it than be a City fan for just 1 minute.
is that what you've been chanting all morning?
That's what I learned. It's one of the songs that, one of the many songs against City and Liverpool and Chelsea and every other team in the league.
I'm going to stop you there. Welcome back to the Koshcast.
Oh, sorry.
Roche has been serenading us with Manchester United songs all afternoon.
What a day it has
You were
been.
At the pub, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Watching the game.
Yes. The Manchester United Supporters Club of Canada.
Yeah.
Not too far away from where we are right now. What an experience. It was probably the first time I've been there to watch the game. And it was the Manchester Derby. And it was a really good experience.
And that was one of the songs they were singing.
Yes. That and 20 times, 20 times.
Right. All the United songs.
Yeah, basically.
Was there anything about knocking Liverpool off their fucking perch?
It was many things about Liverpool.
Obviously.
Some things I shouldn't say.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, you did take your parents, didn't you?
Yes, they did. They did make an appearance, and I was pleased to learn that my dad has been in these situations and these pubs before.
Where is Ireland? In Ireland and...
In Dublin, in London, in Dubai.
So he felt like at home?
I wouldn't go that far. But,
are you saying that your dad's an international hooligan?
Perhaps. He has some spray cans in the back of the car.
He did. When I asked him, you know, like, are you okay with being in a place like this? He said, you don't know me.
Do not doubt me.
Yeah.
Man of mystery. Marlon, how are you?
I'm great. I'm just fantastic.
Excellent.
I'm enjoying the weather. It's so sunny in here
and,
today.
And I think you get to be engineer this week because we are lacking a certain Nigerian.
Yeah, Bernie isn't here.
He's in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago he was in North Dakota, and that was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This might be worse.
It probably. I mean, it's not the best place for him to be.
It's, no.
Yeah.
It's Wisconsin. That 70s show was filmed there, but that was, like, in the 70s. I'm just kidding. I knew that was...
I don't know if he wants to go there in the 70s.
Yeah. Well, there'd be even less black people there in the 70s.
Mm, true.
Probably.
Well,
anyway.
The thing is, yeah, I have to take over production today, so if there's anything out of sorts, it's totally my fault.
Or if it's way better, also your fault.
Yeah, you know, if you didn't say that, you could just blame Bernie anyway.
True.
Yeah. Anyway. Football?
Football. Let's football? Yeah, back to, obviously, the United City game.
Yes.
That was the big game of the week. Very, very good result for United fans.
Yeah.
City... did go up 1-0.
They started very, very well, City.
Yeah, they started the better side. I think coming into the game, on form alone, you would have said that United would have shaded it. But in the last couple of games, City have won comprehensively outright, outplayed United off the park. But today, even though they started that way after that Aguero goal in the 7th minute, you thought, okay, we're in for a long afternoon, the pub is all quiet. But then... Fellaini knocks down a header and the crosses start coming in.
We
scored 4 goals.
I think even when City went 1-0 up, you could see that United players and the fans, they didn't panic. Like, you could still see that, no, like, this is just a blip. We've been good recently, good enough to come back from this.
Yeah.
Other games, like when City beat United the 6-1 or whatever, or the 1-0 last time.
Yeah.
The idea is that at that moment, it's like, oh, City, this is supposed to happen. They're 1-0 up. This one was more like, oh, this is a blip. It's like, it's not actually what's supposed to happen, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think as a United fan, I would have been... If I were a United fan, I should say, I would have been confident in that United have shown a lot of attacking competence over the last few weeks. They've looked really dangerous. And City, even though sometimes they play well against Manchester United, as you said, they've blown them off the park a few times, but recently, defensively, they've been an absolute shambles. And so I'd be confident that over the course of the game, you'd have plenty of chances... to hit them.
No, I mean,
Gil Clichy started out this game extremely well.
Like a house on fire.
Yeah. And soon that flame burned out.
Well, I mean, he's, again, like I was just saying, the City defend really bad. Company had a horrible game. It was so funny on Twitter, one guy, because he got injured and got subbed at halftime, and one guy's like, Company's so bad that he gets injured now going into rash tackles. He just doesn't think them through. I don't know what he's doing.
He was, I mean, he could have got a red for that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessarily, but you've seen them given, as the cliche goes.
It was funny that a company said before the game that his mom warded him off Manchester United. I think that was only because his mom knew that he wasn't going to make the starting lineup.
Wow.
Very nice.
Strong statement considering Phil Jones.
Rivalry.
Extremely.
Smaller.
Yeah. But yeah, so Clichy had two very bad moments. Ashley Young scoring the first goal. To be fair, Ashley Young had a very good game.
Yeah.
He kind of cut in front of Clichy, got the touch. Lucky that it bounced back, but he did get the first contact. So, I mean...
Obviously, he also kept Di Maria out of the starting lineup in
again.
This one. Yeah, again. Yeah, in recent weeks. I think Ashley Young has been one of the best players for United in the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Easily.
I'd say in a season of inconsistencies for United, he's been a very consistent presence, whether at left back or even at left mid.
I think he's enjoying his left mid role more than his wing back, obviously.
Oh, for sure.
He's just flourishing there much more.
Whatever he's doing, he's making me eat my words because there was a period of time under David Moyes, maybe even the start of the season, where I just said, Ashley Young needs to get out.
Well, it's understandable, to be fair. Like, I can't blame you. At one point, he was having a horrible time.
Well, he spent 5 or 6 seasons stagnating. So
True.
But where the teams go from here, you say United now 65 points, would probably look at second place.
Oh, yeah. It's a fight for second between Arsenal and United, really. Yeah. I mean, this win will give them a lot of confidence. People were saying United have the toughest... Like 5 games ago, people were saying United will drop out of the top 4 because they have the toughest run-in. They beat Spurs comprehensively, beat Liverpool comprehensively, beat City comprehensively. They only got Arsenal and Chelsea to go. I mean, they're probably going to be in the top 3. I think the top 3 are almost settled now, especially with City in this form. But just to get back to the game, Fellaini scoring the second with a brilliant cross from Young.
Yes.
That is, I think the commentator mentioned it, or the co-commentator, that is the Young cross. Like,
yeah,
cuts in, whips it to the back post.
It's a cross and his shot. Like, he did it against the Arsenal in the 8-2. He whips in a cross and curls it into the far post the exact same way.
Yeah.
And then it was... who scored the third goal?
The third goal was Juan Mata's breakaway. He
was maybe
a step, a shade offside when Rooney made that pass. But I think, you made an interesting point about that whole offside call concept.
What I was saying is when it's close and maybe there's a defender there or something, then yes, the linesman got it wrong and it's a problem. But in this case, Mata was in acres of space. The fact that he would have been a half a step behind or a half a step forward would not have changed the outcome of that result. So I don't take it as, oh my God, he was offside, this shouldn't have... Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, because there was no one close.
Yeah.
But he did very, very well to finish that off because he had a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his composure was brilliant and it was a tight angle and Hart often makes saves in that situation.
Yeah.
And then Smalling from a free kick.
Smalling's
getting in
piece.
On the act.
Yep. Smalling now has many goals as Welbeck. 4. So, taking up that mantle.
Yeah.
But Welbeck put us through the FA Cup, you know?
That's true. That's true.
It was a back pass gift by Valencia to you guys.
Granted.
Valencia just wanted to get an assist, you know?
Yeah.
It's been so long.
Aguero seemed like the only person that was playing that game, or trying at least. He got
the only person left in the team by next season.
True.
From a Man City perspective, they started the game very strong. They made it very difficult for Ander Herrera to grow into the game.
True.
I remember thinking to myself, Herrera needs to really step up
and
get
Milner,
space.
Really.
Yeah, Milner got a yellow card, and then they just started playing the ball around Toure and Fernando, or Fernandinho.
For me, City center mid looked really not good enough. Milner ran around a lot, which some English people love to see, but aimlessly. It just felt like, for me, Clichy Fine had a bad game and Silva had some bad touch, whatever. But for me, the big point was Yaya Toure. It got to a point where I wasn't even looking at the ball anymore. I was just watching Toure.
He is a massive point.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Jose Altidore for TFC.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing it. Like, he just looked so disinterested. It was really annoying to see someone on this amount of money at this big stage. He was not... He didn't even care.
No, I mean, he's had a bad season for him.
Yeah.
And it's just... We've thought throughout the season, okay, it has to start getting better, and it just hasn't. And you can either put that down to his head somewhere else, he wants to leave.
They didn't celebrate his birthday, did they?
Yeah.
To
be fair, bad season locally, but he did win the African Cup of Nations.
That is
a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's why it's hard to really know how much to attribute to him and to the possible move away, is because there's the World Cup. Then you've got straight back into the season. We've seen a lot of people have had hangovers from the World Cup. But then he has to go play the African Cup of Nations as well. And he played throughout the whole thing. So, and players, when they come back from the African Cup of Nations, usually have a period of adaption to get back into it. So, I don't know, it's hard. Like, yes, he's had a bad season, but it's kind of understandable.
Richey, looking forward to the Chelsea game? next
for United? Yes, I will find myself back at the United Supporters Club pub to watch the Chelsea game. I do feel that, I mean, later on in this Manchester derby, we saw Carrick go off with an injury. And that's a worrying sign because I feel like with him and the team, we're a completely different team. And so hopefully he can recover for that Chelsea game. But it's a huge game. Okay, we know that Chelsea have won the league. I don't know what if you guys want to argue that point.
No, I wouldn't.
They're 8 points ahead with a game in hand.
Yeah.
Seven
with a game in hand.
Yeah, and we're playing them at Stamford Bridge. You know, Mourinho was wrecking.
Mourinho's going to go for the draw, we know this. Or maybe win on the counter, Max. He's not going to go for it.
Definitely. And we're not Barnsley or whoever won 4-2 at Chelsea earlier
this season. Brentford.
Was
it Bradford?
It was Bradford in the FA Cup, 4-2.
Yes. Or Parsley, whatever I should have said at the start.
Barnsley?
Yeah. But no, you're right.
Practically the same thing.
The thing is, speaking of Chelsea, we can move on to their game. It was nil. It was 0-0 against QPR until the very last, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Chelsea just squeezing it 1-0. They barely had shots on target. They didn't look good at all. But, you know, away to QPR at this time when QPR are fighting for every point, it's the results that matter. And Hazard pulled them through.
And QPR often give Chelsea trouble. I think they beat them and drew with them in the last year or so.
Right, and they're also coming off a massive 4-1 victory against West Brom last year.
Yeah, so I think Chelsea ran into QPR, you know, at the best time for QPR. And Chelsea haven't been fluent for really since the turn of the year.
Yep.
So it has... often has been Hazard just kind of one or two moments. As it was again, one or two moments of magic. I mean, Seth scored the goal, but it was Hazard's assist.
Right? He did create that goal out of thin air, yes.
I did like the celebration, removing the mask.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, who scored that goal? I don't know. It was me.
Yeah. What is Fabregas' stats before and after he started wearing the mask?
Well, it was only this game, so.
One goal.
So actually, you're right. His stats should be 100%. One game, one goal. He should keep it on.
Yeah, Mourinho's like, I don't need it anymore, boss. No, you keep it on.
Let's hope his girlfriend doesn't say the same thing. But yeah, so Chelsea got three important points here because the idea for me was, as an Arsenal fan looking up at Chelsea, it was Chelsea get a draw here, lose to Arsenal United. And you've got a huge, you know, opportunity to, like...
The gap would be, like 2 points?
3 points, like that. So, it's just... I think this goal is really what clinches the league for them because it's too much. Because even if they lose to the big guys, they've got enough points against the little guys that it's over.
And not only that, but Mourinho simply doesn't. As you said, if he wants to, he'll play for a draw happily and take the point.
Before moving on, let's quickly just point out Courtois had a great game. Saved them a lot. Drogba had a horrible game. Got slated on Twitter by Chelsea fans.
He was like 90.
He is, exactly. It's like, what do you want? Like, people are like, remember when Drogba was good? Like, guys, like, you know why he's there. Like,
it's weird because Drogba was recently playing in the Steven Gerrard, Jamie Carragher testimonial match.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's for old people.
That's for old people.
That is actually for old people.
No, they were raising money for all the players.
But the other thing to consider about Drogba is that he spent a year in China inhaling all that, you know, pollution and stuff. Obviously, he's not going to be as good when he gets back.
No, you're right.
He's still Drogba, though. He's still Drogba.
Well, to the Chelsea fans, that's the idea.
And
the idea
Sol
is like Drogba's
still Sol Campbell, but he's not getting a fast-track coaching bench.
Let's move on. Burnley-Arsenal. It was also similar to Chelsea's game with QPR. Another team battling relegation. Arsenal didn't have full control of the game. Their goal, they won 1-0. Their goal was very sloppy, like 3-4 attempts at goal, and finally
early
trickles
goal.
To Ramsey. Early goal, 12th minute. Ramsey, again, playing well since he's back from injury.
Yeah, and I mean, we've kind of criticised him before for wanting to score too much, almost, and just abandoning his defensive positioning. I think there was a moment against Liverpool, and it actually led to an Arsenal goal where the front four plus Ramsey were all pressing.
Yeah.
And we were very lucky that time that it did lead to a goal, because had they made it through that press, it was just Coquelin and the back four, which has often been a problem for Arsenal. But Ramsey has been getting the goals to back it up.
That's true. And the Arsenal get, again, an important 3 points. At this stage of the season, the performances aren't important. It's all about the results. Burnley, at home, have gotten points off City, Chelsea, United, Liverpool, have gotten points off all the big guys. They've beaten City at home at the Etihad. So it's a very important 3 points. It wasn't going to be an easy game.
You're right that Arsenal weren't really in control necessarily, but I also never really felt that they were threatened too much. I mean, Trippier had a good free kick, well saved by Ospina. But really, they didn't create too much.
Looking forward
you guys,
to the...
You guys have been in some really good form in the...
What are the stats? Weeks, so. There's some like 8 games and 8 wins in a row. And hasn't been done since the Invincibles.
You've mastered your Invincibles record, which is kind of odd. Because that team was much better than this team.
Playing against worse teams, to be fair, like in comparison.
Yeah. No, I think... I could be wrong about the stat, but something along the lines of... 133 out of 36 possible points.
Something ridiculous like that.
And I am familiar that Arsenal do this at the end of the season almost every year.
It's always like a push, but
I find it's either at the beginning of the season,
it's opposite,
and then they lose it, or the other.
Either you play brilliantly, you're champions till February, and then you lose it, or you've had like this season your worst start in 30 years, and then now you're like second. It's weird. Anyways, coming up, Alex, you're looking forward to the FA Cup.
Yeah, so semi-final next week against Reading. One of those games that, you know, should be a breeze. Hopefully, Walcott getting... What did Walcott get? 5 on that day? 4 or 5?
You know what? If you guarantee that we win 7-5, I take it. I'd love to watch a game like that.
You know what? It would be fun, but like the psychology of it would mean that Arsenal's defence would be mentally shattered.
Especially you guys got Chelsea and United coming up in the league as well.
Hey, last year, we had Wigan and Hull to go through to win the FA Cup, and we made a meal out of those.
Absolutely made a meal out of it.
Yeah.
But you know what? You made an even bigger meal out of the Birmingham City affair in 2000. What was it? 2010
and Brentford or whatever when we lost
Brentford,
the penalties.
Yeah, and Javinho. Yeah. But what I'd say is, you know, Liverpool played Blackburn in the other quarterfinal last week. Mm-hmm. We said it was going to be tricky for them. They made it through. So now they play Villa. That's going to be a really interesting semi-final because Villa are now on form.
True. Well, Villa beat Spurs this weekend 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Sherwood back at the Lane.
Oh man, he must have loved that.
But he tried to hide it as much as possible.
Yeah, but you know,
you know.
His celebration made YouTube.
Oh man, his celebration. Yeah, they make like there's gonna be an end of season. If they make it, there's gonna be an end of season compilation just of Sherwood's like spin and turn. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. How many times can you throw a gilet to the ground?
I think it's more agile at this point than Drogba.
You even saw the one where he tossed his jacket after like a 5 second delay of like walking around and just looking angry.
Should I toss it? Should I toss it? I'm bloody tossing it.
Is that how he sounds?
A bit.
But yeah, Benteke, 6 goals in his last 8. Sherwood has this thing up with strikers. He did the same with Adebayor when he got to Spurs. He had him like 14 goals in 20 games after being in the reserves. Now Benteke has 6 and 8. It's unbelievable.
The question is, can Sherwood do the same with white strikers?
Whoa. Good point. It's a different psyche, maybe.
You're calling him a racist?
No.
I'm totally kidding.
You never know. But the point is...
Self-hating white man.
But it's weird. Spurs, the stats say that they drew to Burnley, they lost to Villa. Had they won those 2 games, which were expected of them, they would be a point away from City in 4th instead of now 6th or whatever.
It does feel like they've kind of given up prematurely.
Yeah.
It feels like the season is petering out now. And it's a shame because, as you say, like a bit more focus, a couple more wins, and they could have been there. But ultimately, what I think it comes down to is that they just don't have the players.
No.
You know what? That's interesting because we've been talking about Tottenham's fighting spirit a lot of times this season when they won 2-1.
Because they don't have the quality, 1-0, to be honest.
And they've been winning all these goals with the last-minute goals.
Harry Kane
like,
and Bowler.
I can't explain what's happened recently, but they are tailing off.
I think what Alex said is right. I think they looked at the table prior to the Burnley game and went, nah, this is done. It's not going to happen.
Maybe. As a team, they just assembled and they just looked at the table and were like, you know what, guys? Yeah. We're going to just take it easy today.
They looked at the table. They looked at Paulinho and they went, nah, it's not happening.
Not happening, mate.
It's like, so who's going to be our midfield general?
Can we just point out that Kyle Walker has now run the ball out of play? He didn't play yesterday, because Kirikesh did. And then he got replaced by DeAndre Yedlin. Shout out DeAndre Yedlin.
Yeah.
But the 2 games before that, Kyle Walker ran the ball out of play both times.
It's like he's so fast, he doesn't know the field's over.
When you say run the ball out of play, what I'm imagining is if I was playing a video game and I had the player.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I literally just run with the ball.
You wouldn't change
direction.
Yeah. You know how when you press sprint, sometimes it knocks it a bit further?
Was he sprinting or was it just like a casual jog?
He's always
jog?
Sprinting.
I think Walker's...
Okay, so as long as it wasn't a casual jog.
No, he's only got one gear.
He's
only got one gear.
Moving on, guys. I'm glad we had fun with that, though. Crystal Palace, Sunderland. I think we're going to start moving to the bottom. Actually, let's not move to the bottom of the table yet. Let's go Southampton Hull. Stay up there. Southampton won this one comfortably. Not much to say. 2-0. Hull look... relegation.
Yeah. What was
the stat? The stat is that Hull hasn't scored in 14 out of their last 24 games.
Oh,
it just as a Hull fan.
Hull is the new Aston Villa.
Well, yeah. Then, well, worse, if anything. I mean, can you imagine as a Hull fan, 14 games is 21 hours of football.
That is an absolute nightmare. Imagine going to games.
21 hours of it. Yes.
Your team's just not scoring goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the main point of the sport.
Steve Bruce.
Do you reckon they feel better by the fact that they're popular in Asia? Or possibly popular in Asia?
Hull City?
Tigers.
Tiger beer. Yeah. That's why.
No, well, but it is pathetic, and especially after a summer where they spent about 50 million, which is obviously way more than Hull have ever spent before, and a lot of that was on strikes.
It's more than the GDP of Hull. but anyways,
GDP. Not difficult.
Yeah, not much to say in that one. Pellet finally broke his duck.
Yeah, first goal in like 4 years or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And Southampton are keeping Tottenham out of Europe, is that right?
Well,
I think they're on the same point.
Spurs right now are actually eighth, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I would love to see Southampton in Europe.
I would love to see Southampton end up above Liverpool and have Lallana and Lovren looking up at their old club. That would be very funny.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
I actually think just on that, you call it a race for like Europe or your race for the Europa League, but the Europa League doesn't help you attract players.
No.
And it just makes damn sure that your Premiership season is not going to be as good as it could do. We saw how Liverpool did when they didn't have
Europe. If anything, if you don't come fourth, you want to come eighth.
Exactly.
100%.
Either Tottenham or Southampton, whichever one is not in Europe, I guarantee they will have a better season.
They already have really thin squads. Yeah. They rely so much on the starting 11 that this would be horrible.
Exactly.
All right, guys, a lot of games to cover, so we're going to move on. Let's go to the bottom of the table. Leicester beat West Brom 3-2. Just a quick recap. West Brom were in their commemorative kits. They were wearing their 1968 FA Cup final kits. They were commemorating Jeff Astle, their legendary striker. He had a brain damage of some sort. He died at like 50, something like that. I mean, it's a big deal because the way people put it is that this is the second time that the Premier League have allowed commemorative kits. The first time was the Bayern, the
50-year Munich
air disaster. Yeah. So it's a big deal. But they did lose on the day.
I have noticed that whenever these kind of events are marked by a team, so much more pressure on them. I remember the United Liverpool played recently, and Liverpool was celebrating the 96 at home, and they lost that game 2-1. United lost the derby.
Feels like a pattern, eh?
Yeah, it does feel like a pattern.
Yeah, it would be a distraction as much as you're professional and you try and blot it out. Yeah. Like, you know.
Psychologically, you're expected to win, but then the other team is also just playing for the points as well. So
Leicester won that 3-2. West Brom were ahead twice, 1-0 and 2-1. And then Leicester scored in the 92nd. Vardy with a brilliant solo goal.
Leicester returning to their early
season. Leicester have 6-6 now. 6 points in
games. 6-6, you mean 2-2.
Sorry. 6 points in the... Possible. Yeah, 6 points. You're right. I should have said that.
So, in the table...
They came back from having 19, dead and buried, definitely out, to now 25. They're only 3 points away from safety.
It's so tight down the bottom. I mean, this might be the season... I was listening to the radio midweek, and they said... You remember the season where West Ham got relegated and Trevor Brooking took over for the last few games?
Yeah.
And it wasn't the season they had Tevez, they stayed up that year. But anyway, they got relegated with, I think it was 42 points?
42.
This lot are going to get relegated with 12.
Yeah.
Or however, you know, it's low.
No,
it's
you're right.
So we think that's Hull City and Sunderland are potentials to actually get knocked into the relegation zone.
Well, if Leicester and QPR keep getting the points that like they have in the previous couple of weeks, then yes, and Hull aren't getting points, Sunderland as well. I mean, they had the derby win.
I firmly believe that the three in the relegation zone are way stronger than the three above them.
Well, Villa would... I think would leave Villa up there. I think you're right about Sunderland and Hull.
Sunderland
I would say
Hull
Sunderland are both weaker than... Yeah. Well, Leicester maybe, but definitely Burnley and...
I would absolutely love to see Burnley stay up.
Well, speaking of Burnley, what did they do this week? Let's see.
Well,
there was also West Ham Stoke, which was kind of mid-table. Nothing's happening. 1-1, last minute. Arnautovic. The only funny thing was Arnautovic scoring a hat-trick, but only one of them counting. He was really upset. He was just like...
Quick Sam Allardyce check. He's confirmed that he's planning for next season, even though he doesn't have a contract for next season.
Where is he planning?
I heard him say that...
Yeah, maybe West Brom.
Maybe,
I heard Big Sam say that he wanted the Manchester United job.
Yeah.
As his dream job. Yeah. Whoa, slow down.
I mean,
he's
closer to Bolton.
He's not saying he deserves it, to be honest. He's just saying he dreams of it, which I could say. I dream of whatever. Like,
I'm going to have to shit all over that dream. I do not want to see Sam Allardyce at United.
Big Sam.
Yeah. I'd imagine, speaking of him dreaming, I'd imagine he's a massive snorer.
Possibly.
He probably shakes
the
house.
Yeah. Guys, let's round up the Premier League with the in-form team at the moment.
Crystal Palace.
Beating Sunderland 4-1 away.
I saw most of this game. I saw a bit of the first half, and it's 0-0 at half time. I go away for half time, do something else, come back on 53 minutes. Haven't missed that much.
Right.
3-0.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Velassi just bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. One hell of a team talk at halftime.
Yeah.
What a roll.
That were drugs. One of the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Pulis must have gone around and just punched everyone in the face.
Pardew.
Yeah. 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 Punched everyone in the face.
Yeah, Velassi got 3 punches.
Punching Jason.
Yeah, and the best thing about this was Bernie had punching in his fantasy team.
Me too.
And Alex, and he didn't do anything in 4 goals. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh. I even considered Balassi. I was like, no, punching.
I had Murray, so that's an assist and a goal for me.
Nice.
That's okay. It's not going to get you the points, even though you considered it.
Yeah, true.
Oh.
Anyway, shitting on that dream.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just have to contain my.
Yeah, never mind.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, that was that sets us up, I think, really well for Momo of the Week.
Let's do it.
Momo
of the Week.
Of the Week. Of the Week.
We start this week with Rui Faria, Chelsea assistant manager, Jose Mourinho's constant companion for the last God knows how long.
Portuguese-looking Joey Barton.
Correct. So, as we discussed earlier, Chelsea beat QPR 1-0.
Yes.
Chris Ramsey, lovely bloke. Doing his best. He's held out the whole game.
# black manager.
Yep. Take that and shove it up your soul, Campbell. And they've held out the whole game. Chelsea won it in the last minute. Chris Ramsey is down on his knees. He's clutching his face. He can't believe they've conceded a goal. And there's Rui Faria when he gets up, shaking his fists in his face in celebration.
He sprints to him and then does it.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, when you sit next to Mourinho for that long,
granted,
it's by osmosis.
It will rub off.
Yeah.
Poor sportsmanship.
I mean, if it was Van Gaal, if it was Brendan Rodgers or Wenger, like, still classless.
Oh, if it was Brendan Rodgers and he didn't do it, he would be Momo of the Week.
I guess they were that desperate for the points.
But they weren't even.
Yeah, like, it just felt bad. Anyways, whatever. I mean, QPR played really well as well. And it just
felt...
Whatever. And Chris Ramsey is such a nice guy. Like,
he really is.
What a Momo.
I think Rui Faria should get a touchline ban.
Yeah, Alex, I'm going to challenge your Momo contender with my Momo contender. And my Momo contender was from Bayer Leverkusen.
Okay.
Player called Emir Spahic. Genius, by the way.
Yeah.
So what happened was he tried to...
Mensa?
Sorry?
No, never mind.
Huh? That's what I thought.
How ironic.
So Mr. Spahic tried to get some of his friends to come back to the dressing room. And security guards said no. You know, I mean, they have every right to say no. You know, it's a player's dressing room, not your friend's dressing room.
Computer said no.
Spahic ended up getting really mad and decided to headbutt the security guard.
Where's he from? Bosnia?
Yes, he is. And so the club terminated his contract on the spot. He agreed to it, and now he's clubless.
Well, I mean, he just needs to make sure that in his next contract, he has a clause that says, I can bring my friends into the dressing room, just to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Or he has a clause that says, no more headbutting, just like Suarez has a no more biting.
Both. As long as I can bring my friends in, no
headbutting. Well, how about I promise not to headbutt if I can bring my friends in?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think we can make some really good lawyers here.
But let's think about it. That's really extreme. It's like, if we were to go to a dressing room and the guard said no,
you'd just be like,
and I just headbutted the guy. Straight away.
God said no, Spice. God said no.
That's a bit extreme, guys.
Shakira. Okay, speaking of La Liga.
When you talk like that.
Whenever, wherever, you need to be together, I'll be there.
La Bamba.
Right, is that Shakira?
No, not at all.
All right, well.
It's time for Africa.
Yeah, waka waka. All right.
It's actually time for Spain.
Correct.
And also Spain is a country, Africa is a continent. But anyways, Sevilla 2, Barca 2. Speaking of Shakira, Piqué, whatever. That's a good somehow.
Yeah, they probably got in a fight this week because Piqué ended up giving the ball away for that equalizing goal.
And Shakira was like, I ain't having that. You're making me look bad in front of all my friends.
I married the best centre back in Europe.
Yeah.
No anymore.
So Barca went 2-0 up. Messi scoring his regular, cutting on the left. Curly into the fourth
it
quarter
seems
goal.
That he's really developed a taste for that kind of goal in recent weeks.
He did it a lot
when he was younger.
Yes.
And then it kind of tailed off because he got moved
played
to the center and now he's playing right again, so you see it more often.
I love that hard-hitting analysis.
It doesn't look like he's actually hitting through the ball. It looks like he's just sort of
around
that ball.
Yeah.
And the ball just curves naturally.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's curving.
Have you guys seen on Twitter some guy took for the previous goal, took the trajectory of the ball and put Ronaldo's new haircut?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's like Messi inspired by Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Barca went 2-0 up. Neymar with a brilliant free kick.
It was quite.
Messi, very nice of him to let him take it. God knows Ronaldo would never let Bale take a free kick.
It was from that angle, though.
Yeah,
it
right foot. But also, Ronaldo takes them from halfway line. Anyways, Sevilla came roaring back, 2-2.
Yeah.
Bravo was at fault for the first goal.
Nice to see Ever Banega score a goal. He's someone who has always been a really nice player, ravaged by injuries, but also looks like a little mouse, which is fun. He's scurrying around the pitch.
Yeah, he's small, but like tenacious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quintessential Spanish midfielder.
He's got that dogged he's Argentinian.
Oh, yeah, but in Spain.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
But geographically speaking.
Yes, of course.
Granted. So it's nice to see him score a goal. Long-range effort. As you said, Bravo could probably have done better.
I think one of the turning points in this match was when his name escapes me, but Sevilla's defensive midfielder, the ball goes through to Messi. He's broken through the lines. It's a 4-on-3.
Oh, a brilliant tackle, yeah.
What a tackle. He tracked him back. He just shoulder-to-shouldered Messi off the ball, and he just picked him.
You're right.
Polish bloke?
No idea, but I remember
it was something. But Messi remained on the ground, and he was lay down.
Right. Either way, at the end, I think I just want to say that Suarez was, I mean, he messed up a lot of goal scoring opportunities. Barca could have scored 4 or 5 if it wasn't for his misses. He's still really not in the form. I mean, last week he scored a brilliant left foot top corner, but it's just he's not there yet. So Barca dropped 2 points.
Yeah.
Madrid beat Eibar 3-0. A very routine win. Ronaldo scoring. Ronaldo scoring a free kick, first one in like 70 attempts.
Kind of an average free kick though, let's be real.
Yeah, no, it was keeper's mistake 100%. Yeah. I was listening to the game and Ray Hudson was the co-commentator. He was saying that Ronaldo hasn't scored the free kick in like a year or whatever. And Ray Hudson was like, there's no way that is true. And he's like, it is. And he's like, okay, you know what? It's probably, you know, time changing, like, you know, when winter time or whatever it's called.
Daylight saving time. We lost the hour, which is the hour which Ronaldo scored all the free kicks.
But either way, Hernandez
scored
a brilliant header.
It's funny because he spoke about a week or two ago about being really depressed. He's not playing. Everyone was like, "Well, yeah, no shit, man," because couldn't get on the team at United. So moving to Real Madrid wasn't the obvious move.
Mm-hmm.
And he rejected a move to MLS reportedly.
Yeah.
But nice to see him score. It was a very good header.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? To his in his credit, he has got a new haircut. He looks good. He looks ready. He looks thirsty. He scored that glancing header. Not a bad thing.
So you're saying that he stood there in front of the mirror, kind of looked at himself,
put
his hand through his hair and went, I'm going to do this.
I actually think he did do that.
Because
in his locker room, he's with Ronaldo, he's with Benzema, you know, these are the people.
Good-looking Bale.
And let's look at the most important thing you see, which is that they were playing Eibar. So,
Hesse also
can't
played
do it against Eibar.
Yeah. He couldn't do it in the 9-1 last week. So he really had to make up for that.
Yeah, sure. So either way, Hesse scored the third. Barca are now only 2 points ahead. It used to be 4, which gave them kind of a good cushion. But like we said last week, Barca have the harder run-in, which is like Sevilla away is technically a harder game.
They still have to play Atletico Madrid, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And Valencia, I think, a couple of games like that. So we'll see how it goes. Atletico Madrid have dropped out of the race.
Yeah.
It's pretty much
they need to fight for third, really, to avoid that qualification game.
Yep, that's pretty much it for Spain. Moving on to Italy.
Very interesting.
We've actually been highlighting Parma for these last couple of weeks, beating Inter last week, and then this week they played Juve.
Okay. It was a 1-1 draw with Inter last week, but it kind of did feel like a win for Parma.
Oh, true. It's only a draw?
Yeah.
Oh.
Frankly, getting to the stadium feels like a win for Parma.
I think Bernie laughed so hard at Inter that it just felt like Parma pummeled them, you know?
We had a real laugh at Inter last week, and this week we can't even... I don't think it's actually sunk in that Juventus lost to Parma 1-0.
Yeah, I mean... Just incredible. And Parma joined hands at the end of the game and danced towards their fans. And that's brilliant. But it changes absolutely nothing.
But if anything, it just shows that Serie A is the best league in the world. When last place Parma beating first place Juve.
Anything can happen.
I am going to play devil's advocate here, and I know you guys don't want to hear this, but
devil's
I'm just going to say...
Devil's dick advocate?
This is all Calcio Poli. I think they're just giving Parma fans something to sort of savor so that they don't go rioting.
Juve feel bad about the 2 Calcio Poli years, so they're just kind of giving it back.
Right, they feel really bad about that.
Yeah.
Even though they maintain they won the title that season.
Devil's dick advocate.
Yeah. Napoli beat Fiorentina 3-0.
Big win.
Big win, but I mean, Napoli need to do better. They're currently 7 points out of Europe. It's not good enough.
Yeah, no, it's not. And it's like, I think we referred to it earlier in the season, but remember when... Sven-Goran Eriksson had already agreed to leave Lazio in like halfway through the season, and then they just collapsed. It's kind of like that. I mean, Benitez is gone, everyone knows it, and he's just running through the motions.
Lazio, speaking of them, beat Empoli 4-0.
thrashed them. They're in second now.
Yeah, I mean, they're forget Juve, but they are 8 points in that Europe zone, which is looking different. They've got like 9 games to go or whatever.
Now, Mauri, 36-year-old Mauri, still banging them in closer.
Kandreva.
Closer is like 50. He's banging them in. Kandreva. Yeah, and Felipe Anderson got another one.
Well, Lazio play Juventus next, so it's going to be an interesting
game. That is a good game.
That's a massive game because not only is it two teams in terms of league position that are close, but they're actually on form. I mean, Juve lost this week, but two teams actually on form.
Well, I mean, Juve are at 70 points, Lazio are 58, so Lazio beat them, they're at 61. I'm not saying they're going to win the league, but at least make it a bit more interesting, that's all.
Roche is saying it's fixed, so it's definitely not.
It's fixed. Right. It's fixed, so someone else is going to win the league this year. It's catastrophic collapse by Juventus.
But the real question is, can Parma stay up? Because that would be a miracle.
I mean, Parma right now are, what, they've 3 points out of relegation with 9 games to go? That's
they're very three good. Points off the team in 18. So
wait a second.
They can do it.
Hasn't the league officially like made Parma relegated and given everyone a 3-0 win?
Then they came back and everyone chipped in and they gave them like 5 million.
Yeah, they floated them for the rest of the season. So they were gonna. That was what was gonna happen. But
right. And to give Inter their dues, so we don't just laugh at them every week. They beat Verona 3-0.
I'm still laughing.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what? They're setting themselves up for the Milan derby next weekend.
That should be. That's always a good game, even though the player quality has really dropped.
But and it's one of the final games in the Giuseppe Meazza San Siro Stadium.
Ah, sentimental.
Yeah. So Milan actually drew this week 1-1 with Sampdoria.
Right. Roma also drew 1-1 with Torino.
Of course they did.
Of course.
Because they were expected to win. Forget about it.
Roma, yeah.
But yeah, I think that wraps up Italy pretty well. Lazio, Roma are in those last two European spots. Napoli and Fiorentina are 7 and 8 points respectively out of it. So we'll see how Benitez does these last 9 games.
Kind of a similar setup to what they have in England, with that one team running away with it and everyone else fighting for 2, 3, and 4.
Yep. That's similar. You're right. All right, let's move on to scouting report.
Let's rip someone to pieces. Crystal Palace centre-back, Scott Dan.
He is top 6 quality, mate. Alex, please explain.
Okay, so I wrote an article detailing how well Alan Pardew was doing with Crystal Palace. And I said that he's doing this well despite having a bunch of average players in defence, like Scott Dan and Spironi and Mariappa and stuff. And then Jamie Greeno something or other on Twitter, told us in all seriousness that Scott Dan would easily make it into the top 6 teams in the Premiership.
And to be honest, like making it to Liverpool's defense right now doesn't say anything.
They're not top 6.
Or yeah, exactly. They're not even top 6. Or Spurs' defense. What, instead of Fazio, where good, like, so what?
Kirikesh.
Dyer. Like, he's nothing. But anyways, I mean, he's not a horrible player. He's just not that quality. All right. Quick recap. Well, not recap. Looking forward to the Champions League.
Yeah, literally the opposite of a recap.
Literally the opposite of a recap, yeah. Atletico Madrid playing Real Madrid again.
Tense affair.
Last year's final, yep.
Are we going to see a 4-0 battering again?
Well, that's actually my next question. What do you think we're going to see?
Oh, now that we've both asked the same question, I think Alex has to answer.
All right.
This is at Calderon. 2-2.
Oh.
2-2, you think so?
Really? Like open affair? A lot of goals?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2-1 Atletico. But then Madrid's going to win at home at the Bernabeu and go through.
Okay. I think, 1-1 maybe. The KG 1-1. There's also Juve-Monaco. Juve without Pogba. But I think Juve should 3-1 maybe.
You think they can handle them? Because they couldn't handle Parma.
That's probably because I'm guessing they arrested quite a few players.
I don't know, to be
honest. Pirlo's also out, I think. Anyways, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think Juve will be stronger. I mean, Monaco, they're very good at sitting deep and defensive, and that will work as an away game. Like, that should be a good game plan. But I think Juve will still make it, I don't know, 1-0 to Juve.
It's tough to call because Monaco have been scoring some really beautiful goals recently, in recent weeks. Superb goals, superb team play. They're on full confidence, and I think that they can do damage to Juventus. I think they're very evenly matched, and it's possible that we might see a draw. The first leg's in Turin, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go with 2-1 Juventus.
Okay, just shading it, yeah?
Yeah, but Monaco will get that away goal.
Okay, which could be vital for
vital the statistics.
Porto-Bayern, this is probably the least balanced of the four games. Bayern win this one, the Porto get a goal, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me ask Rochet. Do you think it will be 13-1 to Bayern over two legs or 15-1 to Bayern?
14-1 is my guess.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Porto are not to be...
taken lightly.
Exactly.
No, I agree. I'm obviously
kidding. They're a team that is a production line. They're very strong. And Bayern are so efficient that they're boring in recent weeks.
That's
you know
true.
What? They
that
can,
is a
they
you
can
know
be
what I'm saying? I really like that. They're
yeah.
so efficient that they're boring. That is actually true.
But
who's
they can
ever said
be
that about Germans before?
Yeah.
but guys, Bayern can be beaten. They lost to Mönchengladbach 2-0 at home, and they
yeah, you're nitpicking at one out of like
okay.
40 games. Okay. Are they going to lose or win to Porto?
Okay, but okay, so they're going to advance, but they'll draw on Porto. They drew with Shakhtar, don't
they?
0-0.
Nil.
And they won 7-0 at home. So,
yep. But they have Shakhtar also got a red card in the first minute. So
I'd really love Porto to win this. I love this Porto team. I love Yassine Brahimi, but 3-1 Bayern.
Yeah, Yassine Brahimi has had a great Champions League season.
This is overall 3-1?
No,
in the
just
first
this
leg.
Game, yeah.
First leg.
Yeah, second leg 7-0. Okay, last game is PSG-Barca. Before we move on to predictions, we got to say PSG, congratulations. They've won their French League Cup, which is...
Félicitations.
Sure. Bon anniversaire.
they do have Zlatan for this game, right?
No. So the thing is, Zlatan is missing. Thiago Silva is missing. Another third guy.
David Luiz and Thiago Motta.
Yeah. That's,
and possibly Cavani? There was something about
the
his
whole
groin.
Defensive
who are all
core.
Missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I said it in... I think I did a write-up about this in the predictions, but they're going to need guys like Marquinhos and Blaise Matuidi to have the biggest games of their lives if they're going to stop. It's more damage limitation for PSG.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get through this game without, you know, conceding two or three and then make it to the next one where they get their team back, maybe they can do something.
Are they playing the second leg at home?
The first leg is home.
First leg
PSG.
Is home?
What do you think? What do you think this game is?
I think that Barca is going to advance, and Barca might very well win this game because PSG are missing all their key players that they're going to need to win.
The Barca-PSG game always seemed closer than you'd anticipate. PSG are good at kind of...
To be fair, historically, like last season they had two draws, two very close games. Barca advanced on away goals.
Yeah.
And this season, PSG won the first one, Barca crushed them in the second one.
Yeah.
So I think the balance of power is shifted. Barca have got a hold of this team.
Barca have also improved quite a bit.
They have. I mean, what I would say about this is that PSG, like before the Chelsea game, I would have written them off. But Blanc really impressed me with how he managed that game.
Right.
And so were it not for the injuries and suspensions, I'd say they could do it. But there's so many
basically
key players.
I think the game plan is to keep them in the
in
the game
exactly.
until the next one, just
yes.
to kind of get your players back.
So I think they'll try to do that, but fail 1-0 Barca.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for your predictions. They're now on record. So we'll see you
on the website.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. We're all going to be really wrong.
Yeah. Well,
hopefully.
Or at least I will. I'm usually really wrong.
That'll keep it.
Alex
keep
is usually
price.
Really wrong. That is.
Alex is terrible at his predictions. Yeah.
Bernie's also really bad at them. Right,
yeah,
guys?
Absolutely, he's terrible.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.